Welcome to Jake's Happy Nostalgia Show, the podcast where nostalgia comes alive. Since July of 2021, Jake and his friends have interviewed professionals in the worlds of acting, directing, writing, puppeteering, and many more. Who will they be chatting with in this week's interview? Find out in this Jake's Happy Nostalgia Show episode.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Jake's Happy Nostalgia Show, where nostalgia comes alive. I am one of your co-hosts, Matt Bingle, with my co-host, Chris Bixby, and the host, Jake Deffenbaugh. How you doing, gentlemen?
We are good,
doing
Matt.
Great,
how are
Matt,
you?
How about you?
I'm doing good.
Great. Awesome. Who do we have today?
Yes.
We are very, very excited to have our guest here with us. She is a voice actor. Many of you may know her work, particularly as Jimmy Neutron. She also was in the Nick Jr. series Oswald, if anybody remembers that. Most people do, I would hope. And a bunch of others. We could go on and on and on with a whole bunch of stuff. But here she is, Debbie Derryberry. Debbie,
hi,
welcome.
You
how you doing?
Thanks for having me here, Jake and Matt and Chris. It's been a while. We had to postpone a couple of times. Thank you for being accommodating. Schedule is insane in the life of a voice actor, I guess with everybody, but voice acting is just all over the place. So hi, thanks for having me.
Yeah, of course. Happy to have you here. It's an honor.
So we know who you are, and even though I introduced you a little bit, for those who do not know who you are, would you care to introduce yourself a little bit?
Yes, I'll be happy to. I'm going to move my camera and just look at my wall of shame going on here. I have a lot of cells and cartoons. It just goes on and on.
Oh my gosh.
It goes on. I hope I can get it back in the right position now. Let's see. I think I'm most well known for being, I'm moving the camera again, sorry, there, for being the voice of that little guy, Jimmy Neutron. I'm also, you can see Cheer Bear right there. I'm also in this show, F is for Family on Netflix. I play most of the children on that show. Maureen, she's a little daughter. And Philip, he's down the street. I'm going to move my camera again. And there. And Bridget, she's the one who has the bad language. So if you watch, if you're... I'd say older than 15 or 16 and you're not easily offended, F is for Family is a really awesome show. I am the brand new voice of, there's a game called Sims, which is like a video game international. Yeah. I am the new infant voice for Sims. And let's see, I'm on Guild Wars 2. I've been Timey on Guild Wars for 8 or 9 years. I'm on a few up and coming video games that I think I can't talk about yet, but there are things I can talk about. There's a new series called Grubs, and I play the voice of Grubs, a little boy. Christmas special will be out soon. The original Toy Story movies, I was one of the aliens, pick me sort of thing. You know, I've done so many cartoons. I'm the original voice of Tinkerbell and Peter Pan and the Pirates way back before you guys were born, and in the 90s, and Jumanji and Bobby's World. And most recently, I'm in The Loud House and Shark Dogs, Glitter Force, Zatch Bell. I do it all day, every day, and I've been doing it for 30 years. So it keeps me busy, and I love to do it. Just
awesome.
I mostly do voiceover. Sometimes I do on camera. I was in a show called iCarly as the principal.
Oh, yes.
As a principal secretary.
Oh, yeah. I think that was in, like, the very first episode, wasn't it?
I don't know. It wasn't the first, but...
or very early on.
Ms. Varman, yeah.
Yeah, I remember. Yeah, yeah.
So not a lot on camera. I did an episode of The Rookie and another one of another show this year. I can't remember names, but mostly it's voiceover.
Nice.
Oh, I forgot to mention. I'm bringing the original Draculaura in Monster High. You guys.
Yes, that's right. Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
Draculaura from Monster High. How are you? I am fantastic. Bye.
Yes, one of my younger sisters is a big Monster High fan. So.
Good. So you know, there's a lot more, but I can't remember them all, and there's always new ones coming and going.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So, what was your background like, and how do you grow up?
Let's see. I started doing community theater in. I was raised in the desert in a city near Palm Springs, California, a little tiny town called Indio. We did community theater, and I always sang. And I got my first guitar when I was 9. Started singing and writing songs. Loved harmonies, so just always wrote song and sang. Always wrote songs and sang pretty much through high school and through UCLA. I was a pre-med. I graduated UCLA as a pre-med, but I was always in the stairwells or on the streets of Westwood singing. So instead of medical school, I went to Nashville to be a country singer. And the only jobs I got were singing like jingles as a session singer, but only as a kid's voice. They didn't hire me as a grown-up. They still don't. But then I moved back to Los Angeles from Nashville and signed with a voice agent. And I had been acting my whole life, so it had always been for fun, even though I do have my bachelor's in kinesiology and I did a lot of hardcore science, which helped with Jimmy Neutron saying words.
Right.
Then I got my first agent in Los Angeles over 30 years ago. And, you know, I've hopped agents a few times, but I just kind of landed here and it was a good fit. So I stayed. I like it. I do a lot of other things too. But my main job where I actually, you know, can pay the rent is voiceover.
And I know you just kind of touched up on it, but can you talk a bit more about like how you were inspired to get into voiceover?
I wish there was an inspiration there to tell you about, Chris, but it kind of fell in my lap. I was doing a play at a large theater in Nashville called Tennessee Rep Theater. There was a play called To Kill a Mockingbird. And played Scout, the 12-year-old tomboy daughter, when I was 23. So I was playing a 12-year-old at 23 on stage, and someone saw me and put me in a TV show that was from Nashville with Jim Varney called Hey Vern, It's Ernest. And they dressed me up in a little boy clown costume, and I played the son that was the clown. And I got into SAG, and I had an agent and was doing voice jobs. And next thing I knew, I could quit my job waiting tables and move back to Los Angeles, where a casting director, you know, people had connected me to different people out in LA, and I wrote letters. And one of them, Ginny McSwain, said, "You have a great voice, Debbie, but you really need to live in Los Angeles." This is back in the days before cell phones, before pagers. We were still calling on coin phones. And home dial phones or push button phones. Yeah, I mean, it was, you know, this was in the 90s, the late 80s, 90s. So I moved home to California, and Ginny McSwain walked me into ICM and said, "You should sign this girl. She is good at voiceover." So he did. Jeff Danis at ICM signed me, and then that agency became DPN, and I went with them. And basically, I booked jobs starting after 2 weeks, and then it just kept snowballing. From there, I just kept booking jobs, and it's all performing for me, whether it's singing, voiceover, stage, TV. I love it all, but the jobs that I tend to book are voiceover jobs, and over the years, I've submerged myself in it, and it is my life. I hope that answered the question. I know I digressed a little bit about, so it wasn't really an inspiration. It was sort of what doors opened for me.
Right.
And which ones did I run through?
Of course, definitely. Definitely.
Awesome. Growing up, do you have any favorite cartoons to watch as a kid?
I wish I did, Jake, but I had a big brother. And that meant I didn't ever have control of the remote. So I was at the mercy of what my brother wanted to watch, which was usually the Roadrunner, Bugs Bunny, Flintstones. And on Friday nights, we all This was back before cable, and when something was on TV, you rearranged your schedule to be there. So on Friday nights at 8 o'clock, we'd always gather around and watch Batman, the live-action series. You know, woof, boof, bang, oh, those ones. And that was pretty much it. And then once a year, they showed The Wizard of Oz on TV, and we'd all gather around and watch that. So as I got a little older, when I could have control of the remote, I liked this cartoon called Jem. Jem is truly outrageous.
Truly
outrageous. That one, I love Jem. And I also loved Land of the Lost, which live action dinosaur kind of show.
Yeah.
Yep.
That was a Sid and Marty Krofft show.
Yes. Yep. But I never thought that cartoon voices was a thing. I just thought they talked for themselves. I didn't think about it. I didn't be like, oh, that's a job? I just thought if you heard Fred Flintstone talking, that was just the cartoon talking. It didn't connect. I don't know. I just didn't compute.
No.
So now, of course, we mentioned this in the beginning, but now one of your most famous voiceover roles is, of course, voicing character Jimmy Neutron in the Nickelodeon Jimmy Neutron Boy Genius franchise. So how did you kind of land such an iconic role?
Well, as a voice actor, your agent sends you on a lot of auditions. In fact, most of a voice actor's job is auditioning. Now that we audition from home in my studio, I'm pointing at it right there, we audition from maybe 10 to 40 jobs a week we audition for. In 1999, when they started casting Jimmy Neutron, your agent would call and say, show up at this studio and, you know, sign your name in, and they'll call you into the booth and you'll read and they'll direct you. So you don't get the copy, the script, ahead of time. You show up at the studio early enough to look over it, and then you look at the list of who all is auditioning, and you see all the people that are auditioning against you. And this is back before the internet. So it was just us LA people. You know, it was just me, and this was before Tara. Was Tara even here? Nancy Cartwright and Chris Kavanoff, and, you know, there were just under 10 of us who did these kid voices. And they picked me. I wasn't comfortable doing a little boy's voice. Normally, I got hired for little girl voices because that's where my natural voice lays. Like, this is where I want to talk. This is where I train myself to talk. But my little boy voice doesn't have any, what we voice artists call, texture.
Mm-hmm.
Gravel. Any of that? You know that stuff that my little boys have that's gruff? I can't really do that for a sustained period, so I used my little boy voice that I have, and it ended up being the one that they liked. So this wasn't for a TV series. It wasn't for a movie. It was for what they call interstitials. Tracy Ullman had a TV show, and she had little shorts of a cartoon called The Simpsons.
Yes.
So they were tiny little short cartoons of it. And so they were going to make interstitials of Johnny Quasar or Jimmy Neutron. They had to change the name because that one had some proprietary patent on it. So I thought I was just booking some little interstitials. And when they sent me the VHS of it and I put it in my VCR player, I looked at it and thought, this looks really good. It's CGI. What is that? It was one of the first CGI things. I think it was the first CGI movie ever. So they loved it and said, we're going to do a movie. And I thought, well, that's nice. A movie after we had done, I don't know, many interstitials.
Mm-hmm.
And then the movie came out, and people do movies all the time. But this one was different. And it got nominated for an Oscar. Lo and behold, they said, we're going to do a cartoon series. So it's not like they said, do you want to audition for this iconic role? No. Do you want to audition for this little role that goes along with the many dozens of auditions you'll do this month? And then we forget about them. But this one stuck. And it's one of those that all of us actors hope that we get one role in our life that is one that people will remember. I'm very fortunate. I've had a few that people will actually know what they are. And I just think I'm really lucky, you guys. I think I'm really lucky.
Yeah, definitely. I think so
I
too.
say so. Yeah.
And now I'm sure a lot of fans would be happy to hear. Can we hear a little bit of Jimmy?
Ah, sure. Me and Carl and Sheen are gonna take our hovercraft and go over to the candy bar. We'll meet you there, okay? Come on, Goddard.
Oh, that's awesome.
Sounds good to us.
Definitely.
That's amazing.
Yes.
Sounds good to us. Now, you had mentioned before the series, Jimmy Neutron was interstitials, but eventually became a movie. What was it like recording for a movie? Because you had done the interstitials, but what was it like transitioning from these interstitials to a movie?
Not a big difference, honestly, because when you're not recording together, like when we had the cast of Jimmy Neutron, the series, we recorded pretty much in the Nickelodeon booth together. But the movie, they always record you separately. I honestly don't remember how we recorded the interstitials, but I think they were pretty much separate. Like they just call us into the studio and give us our lines, and we'd record our lines, and the director would say, "Oh, and then Carl says, blah, 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 blah." And you say, and then you say your line. So it's sort of like the audition, except for it's the job. You know, that's what we do in LA. We drive to different studios, we show up, we get in the booth, we do our thing. We're just like, I don't know, pieces of meat. We're just the
Yeah.
actors.
Oh my gosh.
So, with the series, do you have any favorite episodes of Jimmy Neutron?
You know, when I do, I've been doing Discord lately with on my Discord Jimmy Neutron page, and I always
Oh,
tell all
yeah.
the people on there that that is the one question they're not allowed to ask me because I would have no idea what the answer to that question is. I mean, how would I know? I love them all. They're all great. We had great writers. So I don't even answer that question. Sometimes one is played a whole lot more, so maybe I'm more familiar with it. But I love all the episodes.
They are all really good. Like,
Yes. Yeah. So
yeah.
I you got me, Jake. I don't know.
We also know who's not invited to that Discord now.
Oh no, you're invited. We just lay the rules down at the beginning, and then when somebody asks that question, we all kind of laugh because maybe they missed the beginning rules. I make
Right.
people think up like all the other questions.
Gotcha.
There's a lot of good
But
ones. I mean, I've
honestly, I don't know how to answer that question, and I don't mean to do
No
myself
worries. You're
so
No,
like
it's fine.
stuck
No,
up
it's
diva, but who knows?
There's a lot of good ones. I mean,
There's so many too.
the very first episode when pants attack, that's a really fun one.
Yeah.
My personal favorite one that I remember a lot is the one where I think Jimmy and everyone are turned into like old men.
Oh, really? Is it grumpy, grumpy old men?
Yeah, I think it's that one, yeah.
Grumpy old man.
And I don't
Yeah.
even know if I did my voice on that one or if Rob did it for me. It's just, after so many episodes and so many cartoons and so many years, like if I asked you to tell me who showed up at your 10th birthday party and what'd
Right.
you eat?
And you just kind of
Exactly, yeah.
forget.
Forget, yeah.
Yeah, like
Been there's so many things that
what
you've
did you
done, but
do
you just
the third week in school in 9th grade? What did you study the third week of your third period in 9th grade?
Exactly.
There are some highlights of my year, but
Yeah,
I just don't
exactly.
remember the specifics. I
Right.
suppose if I
No.
didn't do a lot, then I could remember, but I work all the time on different jobs, and I love the work,
Right.
I love the whole everything that has to do with voiceover. In fact, I love voiceover so much. I had people ask me to teach them voiceover, and I started teaching voiceover about 10 or 12 years ago. Don't know how this all got started, but I have so many things to tell people that I wrote it down in my first book called Voiceover 101: How to Succeed as a Voice Actor, and
Oh
then
wow.
Nice.
Pandemic hit, and there was so much more, so I wrote a second edition.
Oh, nice.
No, that's cool.
Wow.
That is cool.
That is awesome.
I have two books out, and I just finished making my YouTube video series of this book, teaching via Zoom. So not Zoom, but virtual, so people can
right.
go to my website and buy the class and read the book and kind of learn everything I know.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's wonderful.
Yes,
that's great.
What are you gonna do?
Exactly. What are you gonna do?
And just in case, if anyone who's listening, watching, if anybody wants to get the books, you know, get the copies, you know, links will be in the description down below.
Yep, they're all on my website at debbiedairyberry.com. And thanks for spelling it right, you guys, because it's hard to spell Debbie Dairyberry and get it right.
Yeah.
You know, you're on the phone with people and they're like, what's your name? Okay, can you spell that? And I'm like,
yeah,
I can relate. I can relate.
Yeah, you can. God. Matt Bingle.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of people spell it B-I-N-G-L-E.
Yes.
Yes.
And another thing about Dairyberry is that on the phone, the letter D and B sound the same. So they're like Debbie Berry Berry?
Right. You know?
Debbie Dairy Dairy?
Yeah.
I'm just like, I'll spell it. You listen.
Yeah.
And then you'll spell it back.
Yeah.
And it's just, you know, sometimes my husband will come in and just sit and laugh because it's so funny.
Yeah.
Every time. It's a whole new game.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
It really is. It
anyway, really you'll is. Know how to spell my name because you boys will have gotten it right.
Yeah. Yes.
Yes.
Dairy Berry.
There it is.
Yeah. Dairy Berry, everyone.
Dairy yeah. Berry.
See, Debbie has four letters.
It's not Dairy Dairy. It's not Berry yeah. Berry. It's
not
Dairy Berry.
Not even Berry right. with the A.
Right, A-E. Yeah.
Oh, I get Debbie D-A-I-R-Y B-E-R-Y.
Oh.
Like a cow.
That's funny.
Oh, no.
People are very clever.
Clever, but wrong.
Yeah.
So this ought to be an interesting question. Besides your own, do you have a favorite Jimmy Neutron character?
Oh. No. I think they all have something really funny about them. Like Sheen, we never knew what was going to come out of his mouth. No matter what was on the script, something else would come out of his mouth. And you'd never know what they're going to keep until you actually see it on the TV. And mm-hmm. Mom and Dad, Megan and Mark, recorded together, and they're both improv king and queen. So it may be there on the script, but, you know, they just, like, go at it. And then the same with Rob Paulsen. You know, he'll, in between takes, he'll just go off on a tangent and say clever, wonderful things. And they're all so funny. Everyone in the cast is so funny. So I kind of just love them all for their skills. And I think we started Neutron before Carolyn started SpongeBob. Of course, she's been going with SpongeBob as Sandy Cheeks this whole time for the last 20 years.
Wow.
We all just live in this little area here in North Hollywood.
Yeah, it's a little circle.
We can record from anywhere in the world now, but pretty much we mm-hmm. still just all live here.
Yeah.
So now, aside from working on the movie and the series, you also recorded Jimmy's dialogue for things like merchandise, games, attractions. Wow. What was it like getting to record for those?
Again, exactly the same. I'd go into the studio and we don't get to see like the game at there was a game at Universal for years.
Yes, that's right.
And video games, but we don't see anything while we're recording it. We just see the microphone and a script.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you actually go there and see the finished product, like we went down to Universal Florida and went on the Jimmy Neutron ride and had, you know, the royal treatment. And it was really fun to hear how it all came together. Mm-hmm. But these people who design these things, you know, they have to kind of, put the cart before the horse, and they have to think, oh, what's going to happen in the ride, and what are they going to say then? And so recording it, you know, they'll have you give it to them a few different ways so that you can they can use the one that's going to fit the action the best. The same with the video games. You give them a few takes, and they'll do the one that fits the action that they will eventually draw the best. And the toys, I guess there may have been a talking toy, but mostly there was some commercials. And I think the one I remember, there was a car commercial with me and Sheen and Carl.
Oh, yeah, I remember seeing that on YouTube, yeah.
But that was just sort of like a little short cartoon that we did. But watching them as commercials as opposed to the cartoons, you know, there's a lot of streams, ways of making a living as an actor, whether you're doing a cartoon or a commercial or voicing a toy, voicing a video game, voicing a ride. It's all voice work, and it's just put into different, you know, facets. So you probably think, oh, she's so boring. She just does the voice part. It's nothing to talk about. But we did another Jimmy Neutron in some, like a Mario Kart kind of Nick Kart kind of game.
Yes, and I remember that, yeah.
By that time, you know, the director was just born when I started doing Jimmy Neutron, so he was like, you know Jimmy Neutron better than me, just go for it. And I didn't even really have a director. They were just like, do it! So I just kind of went through the whole session because I figure I know Jimmy Neutron better than anybody at this point.
Yeah.
But I still have... my ex-husband at the time was collecting everything I did, and I have almost everything ever made. I have bowling balls and underwear and Christmas ornaments, backpacks, cans of soup, bizarre things.
That's insane.
Wow. I have
everything.
That's awesome. Oh
my gosh.
Wow.
That is awesome.
So if they ever come out with a new Jimmy Neutron series, then...
Oh, that would be great.
I'll have all this really valuable stuff.
That would be great. I've seen people, like, talk about wanting to do it on social media. I think a new Jimmy Neutron series would be great.
Right?
Yeah.
I agree. We're all still alive, so let's
Yeah.
Do it.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yep. Yep. So also on Nickelodeon, you lent your voice on the Nick Jr. series Oswald as Weenie and Katrina.
Yep, Oswald the Octopus. I did, that's one of the shows that I never said a word, didn't say a thing. I barked like a dog in different environments. It'd be this... And then Katrina was just a baby worm. She wasn't a butterfly yet. She was just a tiny little thing. So she never said anything. It was just, whenever she was excited about something.
Oh my gosh.
It was an awfully cute cartoon. I love it.
Oh, yes, it is.
Yes. It's a wonderful show.
Amazing show. Such an underrated show, too.
Little brothers or sisters, Dan Yaccarino, the writer or creator of that show.
Right? Yeah.
All kinds of kids' books. He's just he's creative. Great. Yeah.
He's great. Now, one of the other things that, aside from Jimmy Neutron, I probably grew up with the most is you voiced the Playhouse Disney host, Clay.
Right.
Love Clay.
Yes. Yes. Oh, my gosh.
Love Clay. How did that come about?
Again, one of those auditions that they sent me on, and it was a claymation, so I didn't really ever get to see it until it was done, but hold on, I have something you want to see. I have the original Clay.
Oh,
that is awesome.
Wow.
He's still soft. After 20 years, he's still soft because I have him.
I'm wondering how, really? I don't know how Clay, like, do you know how, like, Clay, like, still at, like, in still good shape after all those years?
Oh, is it because she kept him sealed up?
I don't touch him.
Sealed up.
Right, yeah.
Hi, I'm Clay. Can't wait for the day when you and I can play. It's true.
Oh, that is awesome.
That's a wonderful
Clay show. That went on for a while. Yeah.
Yeah, a couple years, I think, like what 5 or 6 years.
Yeah, I loved that job. I recorded right here near the house, and the Kyoto brothers let me come to their studio and look at the claymation, and I never really understood how they did it before, and it is, whew, it's time-consuming.
I can imagine.
Yeah, especially in the clay, introduce all those shows.
Yeah, so. Every sentence has so many different movements, and they have to mold the clay a different way. It's these artists are so skilled. It's amazing.
Yeah, and some of the shows have like multiple different promos. Like, for example, if there's a promo for like the Wiggles, like you do one with the Wiggles colors.
Dang, you beat me
then
to
you,
it.
Then you do another one with like the Friends and
Yeah.
I think
kind of like having a bear and all the
I had a sidekick character named Paige. And
Yes, that's right.
Yeah.
Tara did the voice for Paige, Tara Strong.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool. I remember Paige. Yeah, of course.
And then Tara and I, of course, worked together on the Jimmy Timmy Power Hour as well.
Ah, yes.
And, she has boys who's my son's age, so our kids always played together.
Nice.
It's a small world. Us voiceover people in LA.
Yeah.
Yes. So, you also voiced the aliens in the Toy Story movies. Out of the two you worked on, do you have a favorite?
They didn't say, here's an alien, do that voice. That was a job in voiceover that's called ADR, or looping.
And it happens...
After the movie's almost finished, there's a lot of characters that weren't the main principal voices, who are usually on-camera celebrities. So they'll bring about 13 of us voice artists into a big sound booth that's like as big as half a football stadium or a quarter, and we'll sit on the couches in there, and they'll show us the movie on a screen, and we'll hop up to the mic, and we'll do whatever voices are there. And they said, okay, we got a gumball machine. There's a bunch of little yellow things in there. You hop up and say, pick me. Say the claw. And so we all hopped up to the mic and all of us went, pick me, the claw. And you never know what the editor's going to pick and use or animate to that voice. So when I went to see the movie, I was like, oh, they picked me for that one. Very cool.
So basically they just tell you and the others about which part, do this and whatnot.
Yeah.
But they didn't say
that. We're the dogs. We're the meat. We're the actors. Just do this.
Yeah.
I did a movie recently called Minions, Return of Gru.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah.
And there were five of us, and they'd say, okay, we're doing the lady at the airport, so Debbie, you, and these other three people, you hop up and do this line and say the line and then sit down and we'll choose later. So I didn't know till I went to see Gru that I got that voice, the lady at the airport. Or I also got the secretary at the meeting, Mr. Gru, they'll see you now. but a lot of us sort of auditioned as we worked for this job, because the producers don't always know which voices are going to hit or what's going to work best with the animation. So as a voice artist, you can't really get too cocky I think we all remain pretty humble and friendly because we do what we do. It's not to be a giant celebrity, because I don't live like a king and I don't get accosted when I go out because no one knows what I look like. I can go to the store and walk my dogs and have dinners at restaurants. But if I was an on-camera celebrity, it's not that easy to do like normal things. So voice work is awesome.
Definitely.
Yes.
So now, aside from voicing your own characters, you inherited the voice of another iconic children's character, JJ the Jet Plane.
Yes.
From Mary Kay Bergman. I want to start by asking, how much did you get to work with Mary?
Mary Kay, oh, we worked actually quite a bit together on we worked on Toy Story, worked on I think Monsters, Inc., Bug's Life. We had the same I saw her a lot. Yeah, leading up to when she passed away. It was a very sad day. But yeah,
Yeah.
I was friends with her and we worked together a lot.
Nice.
And JJ the Jet Plane was an honor to take over for her. And I'm hoping one day JJ will come back as well, because it was a
Oh
pretty
yeah.
iconic, cute show.
It actually is. There was a reboot announced. I don't remember like where it's going to be on, but yeah, there's like a new design for
Yeah,
it
I
and
did the
everything.
I can't really talk about but
That's awesome though. JJ's another good show. I used to watch it sometimes on PBS when it was on.
I
Yes.
will say that the new design to me looks pretty great. Sometimes
Oh yeah.
I think not I didn't find the original design scary, but I think some people's comments were that they did find it
Some people
scary.
did.
Yeah,
I didn't.
because of like the faces.
Yeah,
I can kind of understand it a bit. I mean, well, like you said, I never found it, scary or anything. I, in fact,
neither
thought
did I.
JJ was a quite nice show.
Yeah,
That was a
very
great show.
sweet. And
Yes.
in fact, the guy who wrote the song, JJ the Jet
Yeah.
Plane, that's me. His name
Yeah.
is Stephen Michael Schwartz. He's a wonderful songwriter, and I haven't mentioned this, but I have three award-winning preschool albums out, and
Oh,
I've written a
yes.
couple
That's
songs
right.
with Stephen Michael Schwartz. In fact, I'm going into the studio tomorrow to record one of the songs we wrote together, because I do a lot of kids' music as well.
That's right,
Nice.
yes.
Awesome.
Terrific.
Aside from your many voiceover roles, you also perform your own preschool music. How did that come into play for you?
Well, I've always played guitar as long, far back as I can remember. And I always sang for my family and friends, either the current songs at the time, but I also always loved singing to little kids, whoever was in the room, or at birthday parties, or to relatives that were visiting. And one day, I moved to Nashville to be a country singer, but as I said, I only got hired to sing like in a kid's voice. And one of my relatives said, "Why don't you record your kids' songs?" And I thought, "Well, all right, I can do that." So my first album was called What a Way to Play, and on it was a song called Baby Banana.
I love that song. Yes, I
When
remember
I
seeing it on demand.
released this album, and it got all this radio play on XM Sirius, and Baby Banana jumped to number one on the charts. And I was doing concert tours all over the United States. I think I played at most of the Barnes and Noble stores in the US back when there were stores. And I had like major concerts at malls, and it was a really fun time. And so I wrote two additional kids' albums, and I just released actually a kids' song last month called I'm a Great Recycler that just won the NAPA Award, the National Parents Products Award. So I'm really proud of that. And one thing kind of segues into another when you find something that's successful and you like doing it, why not keep doing more of it? And the music business is a whole different kind of business from voiceover, so I've been trying to learn it gradually, but boy, it's complicated, and I'm really trying to get all my ducks in a row so that all my music will be placed where it belongs, and be lined up in all the spaces it needs to be lined up to collect the monies when people use it. But I just still play guitar and sing. In fact, I have a country band, a three-part harmony girl band called Honey Pig, and we have rehearsal tonight.
Oh, nice.
Wonderful.
Yes.
Awesome.
Nice.
Wonderful.
Nice.
So music is a big love of mine, and I play guitar and sing and write songs and generate harmonies. Love it.
That's great. That's
Terrific.
awesome.
Terrific. So over the years, you've appeared at various conventions. What's that like getting to interact with fans who've enjoyed your work?
Well, obviously it's satisfying and it's an honor, and it's very rewarding to know that what I've done has meant so much to some people. a little funny story. I don't know if I should be saying this, but I would say nine out of 10 people that come to my table will say things like, and they say this to all voice artists, you are my childhood. And I believe them, but my reaction is genuine and I'm really glad I am. But every person has this visceral kind of same reaction, and it's lovely. It can be exhausting, but it's lovely. And I'm hoping to do a lot more cons starting this year. Obviously, I haven't done many cons in the past couple years, and in the upcoming years, I will always have a plexi shield and be masked. Because as you know, as a voice artist, if we get sick, you can't really work.
Right, you can't really, do voice
work
over. Yeah, basically.
But cons are fascinating. Just fascinating.
Yeah, I've never had a chance to go to one, but
I haven't either.
Yeah, me too.
Cons have been starting to open back up, and they've done cons in Boston a lot, which, and I'm in Massachusetts, so maybe when there's a con in Boston, maybe I'll go to it.
Yeah, they're interesting.
Definitely. Yeah. So I know we're kind of running short on time, but I guess we'll just kind of cut it to like the last like three or four questions.
Yeah. So we've talked a lot about your work in the past. Can you share any projects you're working on now?
I can't share anything that hasn't been released yet, but the newest things, as I mentioned, are the Sims game, the new Infant expansion, and I'm also a giant centaur in a new World of Warcraft dragon game.
Oh, wow.
Nice.
I'm also, there's a game called Genshin Impact, and I play Tubby, this sort of penguin-looking sage bird. Mm-hmm. And what else is coming up? I'm looking around my room at all my pictures and things. There's some unreleased episodes of Shark Dogs. That should be fun. And some other projects I can't talk about yet. But I'm busy. Staying busy and always auditioning.
Right. So now, are there any words you'd like to say to those watching or listening who have supported your work over the years?
To those of you who have supported my work over the years and been fans, thank you. I have a TikTok channel, and I'm always really touched by the lovely comments on there. I mean, sometimes there's the one-off comment where people are saying things. I'm like, why would you say something like that? But for the most part, I'd say 99% of the comments from my fans are just so heartwarming and so nice. And I'm so glad to be able to make people's lives more entertaining. And I know I've been in this business since I was, 29, and it's been 30 years. So, I've been in it a lot of my life. I rarely do 60-year-old voices. Most of my characters are still little kids, which is just interesting that the voice can still sound so much different than the person is aged, But thank you, all my fans. I will always be very grateful.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Awesome.
Now,
and your TikTok and your website and everything they have on social media will be in the description down below, so people can follow you and check out.
Yes.
I don't know how that TikTok grew to be as big as it is, but
I know.
TikTok's an interesting platform, I will say.
Yeah.
So to end this off, so this is a question we ask at the end to all our guests. So of course this podcast is called Jake's Happy Nostalgia Show. In your own words, when you think of nostalgia, what do you think of, or how would you define the word nostalgia?
Well, there's usually a very warm and happy feeling when I think of nostalgia, something that came from my childhood or my past that has meaning to me. And of course, the things that are nostalgic for different generations are all different to different people. Like I have nostalgia for things like we'd go to the movies for 25 cents and buy popcorn and candy for a nickel. That's nostalgic for me. Or sitting around with my family and watching The Wizard of Oz. And I don't know how many years go back before you can call it nostalgia, but if my beginning cartoons of JJ and Jimmy were nostalgic for you guys, then I'm so glad I could create a warm and fuzzy feeling for you.
Awesome. Awesome.
Terrific.
Awesome.
Terrific words.
Yes.
Guys, and thanks for your patience with
Yes.
rescheduling, and thank you for having me on your adorable,
Yep.
fabulous show. I wish
Thank
you
yes. Thank
millions
you.
and millions of
Thank you.
views.
All right, well,
Thank you, gentlemen.
Debbie, thank you so
Thank you.
much. Yes,
You're
thank you so much.
welcome.
And I just want to say yes, thank you very much for what you've done over the years, and
Thank
thank you
you.
for being part of our childhoods, and keep up great work and see what's next for you.
You're very welcome, and thank you guys so much. Have a
Yes,
great
a
rest of your
pleasure.
day.
Thank you.
Yes,
This
thank you. You too,
you
Debbie.
too, keep in touch.
Yes.
Bye now.
Yep.
Yep.
All
See
right,
you, Debbie.
bye-bye, Debbie. And it's goodbye
With
from all of
us. Yep.
us.
Our next
Yes,
one's
all of
our
you.
100th, folks.
Yes, and you guys.
You are not gonna want to miss our next
Yeah,
episode.
you have to.
Big 100.
Yes.
Holy cow.
Keep an
Wow.
eye out for that.
Yes, and I will
You're
say
not
for our
gonna want to miss
one
it.
hundredth
Until
episode,
for that.
for our 100th episode, we will have a special message for all of our fans who have supported us for
Yes.
this crazy, long but nostalgic ride.
Yes, we
Yes,
will.
that's for
So
sure.
please join us on the next episode. You are
Yes,
not
keep an
gonna
eye
wanna
out for
miss it.
that, and stay
And
tuned
for the
for
and
next more great episodes down the line too. So.
And for those who and for those who are on our Discord, for not if you're not linked in the description on our YouTube page, no hints. You're not getting any hints for the next one.
Because
It's
it's an
that
exciting
big.
one.
It's that big.
Yes.
It's a big one and
Keep an
it's an
eye out for that,
exciting one.
folks.
Yes,
Yes.
but for now it's goodbye from us at Jake's Happy Nostalgia Show. And always, as always, remember to keep nostalgia alive. Goodbye,
Yes, keep
everyone.
nostalgia alive.
Bye.
Take care, everyone. Take care. See you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you for tuning in to another wonderful Jake's Happy Nostalgia Show interview. Be sure to follow Jake and the crew on social media and stream the show wherever you find your favorite podcasts. And as always, remember to keep nostalgia alive. Bye-bye.